How do we tend the land in ways that are reverent? How do we see the spirit of life in all things? And how do we cultivate the sacred? These are all things that have been so shattered and severed by colonialism. And it's been hurting people and planet for such a long time and will continue to do so unless we heal this.
Hello, welcome back to the Ruby Ray podcast. This is your host, Jacqueline Norton, and today I'm super excited to have Tara Wild with us on the show. This is feeling like another very womic episode. So before we dive into what we're talking about today, let's just all take a moment to ground in here together, to just call our energy back to ourselves from whatever we have going on, whatever thoughts are running through our mind, wherever our energy is, just pulling our energy back to ourselves right now. Pulling our energy out of our devices, pulling our energy out of relationships, pulling our energy out of any thoughts we have ruminating in our mind, just coming back into our breath, landing in our body. Coming back in. Might feel good to sway a bit side to side. Maybe take a swallow in your throat. Release the tension between your eyebrows or in your shoulders. Feeling where in your body you can just breathe a little bit more life into right now. Breathing in here. We're going to call in this structure of support to surround us now for this conversation. Calling in from the north, the ancestors, the breath, the air, allowing their breath to breathe you deeper. Calling in the Kaliak, Sheila Nagig, all the grandmothers across all time, spaces, and dimensions, our healed and whole ancestors who would like to be present for this conversation. Remembering their breath is only one breath away. Feeling their support. Feeling their air is our air. Feeling that love, receiving their love, letting it fill you deeper. And calling in from the east, the fire, the masculine, the Pendragons. Arthur, the kings, any of the masculine, Grail, men that would like to be here now in the mythic and in the mundane, feeling their support. Calling in the Grail Knights. Breathing in their love. and from the south, calling in the waters, the living waters, the sacred wells, the well maidens, calling forth the endless, infinite nurturing, purification, and memories of the waters. Feeling the support of these waters at our back, feeling us held by these streams, nourished by these memories, allowing these healing waters to enter deeper into us from our back. Breathing it in, allowing these waters to soften us, to remind us of our connection to the source of the all, to the infinite springs. And calling in from the west, the feminine, the Grail women, Morgana, Bridget, Magdalene, and any other Grail women that would like to be present for this conversation now, feeling that support of the unconditional love of the Mother, the Divine Mother, the Earth herself, feeling that her heartbeat is our heartbeat, feeling that her breath is our breath, her body is our body, knowing this, trusting this, feeling this structure of support all around us now, casting this circle around us now, connecting the north, the east, the south, and the west, the air, the fire, the waters, and the earth. Connecting us to each other across all timelines, all dimensions, here now. Breathing back into our hearts, into our wombs. Our womb, the chalice. Our womb, the grail. Our womb, the keeper of the mysteries, of the secrets, of the memories. Our womb is the living grail. In this void, in this space, lives everything that needs to be known, that yearns to be remembered. All of the lessons, all of the teachings, all of the women, the forgotten women, live within us here, live within our blood, live within our DNA, live within the blueprint of our womb, of our chalice, of our own inner grail. Breathing deeper into this space, allowing it to inform you, letting her know you are here, you are listening, you are ready to go deeper into her teachings, into her voice, into her wisdom. To be the living keeper of her teachings, of her mysteries, of her ways. Thanking her, allowing her song to sing up through you and out of you in whatever way is unique to you. Whatever way your soul wants to sing you open. This is your own emanation. your own gift, your own expression of the Grail coming and living through you now to be the medicine the earth needs. Loving yourself here. And whenever you're ready, you can slowly, slowly, slowly start to come back. Staying connected to your breath. If it feels good to open your eyes, you can start to do that. And if it feels good to just stay in whatever space that you're in now, you're welcome to stay here too. Breathing it in. Deeper, deeper, deeper. Into your body, into your blood, into your bones. And today, Tara and I are in a very liminal space. We have both just started bleeding at the same time, which is kind of wild to be having this conversation now. But it also feels really potent and really alive for what we are talking about in the Grail as the womb, the woman of the Grail, and the mysteries that are still living here and have yet to be really spoken of here. So Tara is a woman's educator. She's a storyteller and a songstress walking the path of the wise woman. She's bringing forth the sacred feminine wisdom that's been lost, buried, and hidden from us, helping women connect to the land and their lineage and the earth-based wisdom and healing living there. She's guiding women to reconnect with their roots and their heritage and the ancient pulse of life moving within us, bringing women into the psychic realms of the mythic feminine with a focus on ancestral teachings from Britain and Ireland. She's the creator of The Roundhouse, which is a membership community. She's the host of the Dreaming the Ancestors podcast. And she is also hosts different courses, events, and workshops all about reclaiming feminine wisdom, ancestral stories, and earth magic. And I'm so grateful to have her here today to be talking about the women of the Grail. I feel like this is a time when these stories and these remembrances are awakening with such potency within the collective conscious now. And for those of us that feel that pull, that call to Avalon, to the Arthurian legends, to Camelot, to these mythic stories that are within our DNA and within our bodies, it can feel like a very strong and intense pull and call. And so my intention is today is to shed a little bit more light on not just these mysteries, but the women within these mysteries and what wisdom they can bring forth for us now to inform our path and our course and to help guide us. So thank you, Tara, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me and for that beautiful grounding and opening and calling in. I was so deeply flowing with all the energies that you were calling to and honoring, and really just a very beautiful way to open this conversation.
Thank you. Yeah, it feels good to have this support around us now as we go into these waters. So within the Grail mysteries, within what is coming to the surface, what is arising through us now, Why do you think that this is something that is coming online in the way that it is?
This is a big question, and there are many different threads, and so I'm just going to follow each thread and just name here that, well, as you shared, Lynn, I've just started bleeding, and so I'm in a very liminal space, and so I'm going to just follow each thread as it comes to me, because I'm really feeling, the liminality of this topic, and also the way it's being expressed through my body in this moment, and the energy of womb that's coming forth. So I think one of the threads that feels really potent for women in these times in regards to the Grail mysteries is this very real connection that we have to the Grail within our own bodies. The Grail in the native mythology of Britain is very much connected to this symbolism of some kind of vessel. Sometimes it's portrayed as a cup or a chalice. Other times it's portrayed as a serving dish or some kind of horn of plenty. But in any case, it's some kind of vessel. And I very much feel that, you know, each of us hold this vessel within us, those of us who identify as women or who have a womb space. You know, there are different expressions of this, but the womb as the Grail is a very powerful symbol. And so I can feel that in these times we're connecting to that symbolism and wanting to reclaim the sacredness of this vessel, to reclaim the sacredness of our body. And there's a real desecration that has happened in relation to this vessel, in relation to our bodies, and also in relationship to the earth, really connecting our body to the body of the earth and women as a personification of the land, which is a theme that's so very present in the Grail Mysteries. And we even see the desecration of our sacred vessel, our sacred bodies, and the body of the land in the Grail mythology. So there's a particular story called The Elucidation, which is kind of, it's a later story in the Grail Mysteries in terms of when it was written to paper, but it's intended to be kind of a prequel to the more well-known Grail Mysteries, I suppose, and the Grail Knights and their quest for the Grail and what have you. And it tells the story of how the Grail women and the land became severed from this sacredness that I'm talking about, and the way in which what we might call the wasteland was brought about. And this desecration happens in the story through the raping of a well maiden who carries a grail that serves, you know, the people this water from these sacred wells. So this is the purpose of the well maidens, is to serve and nourish the people of the land through this grail and the serving of the water through this vessel. And in the Elucidation, there's a grail maiden who is raped by a king. And then his men in turn go out and, you know, go across the land and rape the well maidens. And this is sort of the beginning of what we call the wasteland in this mythology. And so, you know, one of the other threads I feel as to why people are feeling called to this symbolism of the Grail in these stories is that, at least in my eyes, we are very much living in a time where we're seeing the wasteland, really seeing it. It's been around for quite some time, but I think that many of us are, you know, the veil is being lifted from our eyes, and we're seeing that we live in what, you know, we would call in this mythology the wasteland. So maybe I'll just share a few words about what is meant by the wasteland to kind of go deeper into this theme. So the way that I describe the wasteland is a land without a heart, and a society without a soul. And it's really the severance of connection in so many different ways. It's really a shattering of connection, our connection to the sacred, our connection to the land, our connection to life, the sacredness of life, and to each other. And so there's this fragmentation, and yet there's also a physical element of the wasteland, which is about the land physically suffering, and the waters running dry, and, you know, the soil being poisoned, and there being illness and strife and infertility and what have you. So there's a physical aspect and also a psychological and spiritual aspect that's both within and without us. And so as we come into communion with this energy and the symbolism of the Grail, we also have to come into relationship with what is the wasteland. How do we carry the wasteland within us? And how do we relate to the fact that, you know, our land, our Mother Earth, is suffering so deeply, and our society is sick and suffering as well? So for me, there's this deep calling. And as we follow this calling, you know, we can begin to unravel these different aspects and come into relationship with, you know, how do we ask the right questions to come back into balance, which is also so much a part of the Grail story, is about asking a question about what is happening around us and trying to understand what has gone wrong. What has gone wrong to have caused the wasteland? And how do we then heal through the asking of the right questions? So I think I'll complete there for the moment, feeling that this transmission is coming to an end there, and would love to pass back over to you, Jocelyn.
Why do you think asking the right question is such a part of the Grail mythos?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, we see the asking of the question within the mythology itself, which feels important just to begin with. And the question is slightly different depending on who's telling the story. So there are, you know, lots of different Grail stories in this native mythology that have been written down in the medieval period. So in Cretan's version, the question is, whom does the Grail serve? In the elucidation, the question is, what is the purpose of the Grail? And in Wolfram's version, the question is, what ails thee? So we see that this all-important question is embedded into these Grail stories. Translating that into our modern times and what I was just speaking about in terms of, you know, why is this relevant to us now? It feels that we have a sense of potentially what has gone wrong in terms of how we have come to this point of living in a wasteland, right? And yet at the same time, the all-important question is not an easy one to get to. And it's also going to be slightly different for each person. It's going to be personal. So for me, there's a personal question we have to ask ourselves, you know, how have I allowed the wasteland to come into me? And how has it been perpetrated as well? How does the wasteland, you know, show up in my body and my inner landscapes? And then we also have to ask a bigger question, a collective question around, you know, what has happened over the past 400, 500, 600, 700, 800 years, and even beyond, that has gotten us to this point where there's been such a desecration of the sacred and such a severance of our connection to the sacred and to the earth. In particular, we're seeing that so strongly right now, how out of balance we are in our relationship to the earth. So unless we find these all-important questions, we're not going to understand how to heal, is really the crux of it, to answer your question. And for me, there's so many people, so many women feeling called to these mysteries, and yet sometimes there is perhaps a lack of willingness, or, you know, not quite an allowance or opening to understand the crux of this collective question of what has gone wrong. And I find it really interesting that this mythology very much belongs to Britain, but in particular, England. England has very little native mythology left, and this is basically the main body of work that remains. And to me, that's not a coincidence. And we have to look at England as empire, England as predator on a world scale, to start asking some of those right questions about what has gone wrong. What has gone wrong in that, you know, England has been the colonizer and has been a huge perpetrator in disconnecting people to the land and causing genocide and all manner of violence and harm that has desecrated the sacred and has desecrated sacred indigenous peoples. So there's a lot of fragmentation here that we need to look at. There's a shadow aspect to all of this that we have to look at in order to heal, in order to ask the right questions. And for me, you know, at the root level, we're looking at this predatory mindset, this dominant force, this predatory power that has created this level of separation and desecration. And, you know, this is embodied in the British Empire, but of course there are lots of other empires. You know, the British Empire is just the largest and kind of most recent offender. So we can't ignore that, right? And so for me, you know, learning how to really be with the mysteries of the Grail is also about looking at all of this and beginning to unravel ourselves and heal ourselves from this predatory mindset that's so connected to patriarchy and colonialism in order to really actually fully understand the Grail mysteries and how to live a healing path, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does make sense, and it's so with people with British blood, with a British bloodline, there is this interesting healing, I guess, similar to what you were saying, where going back to the story of the Well Maidens, it's almost like we have to remember that story of the Well Maidens being raped and not honored and abused and not revered for the wisdom, the rare kind of and unique kind of wisdom that they held. It's almost what I'm feeling is like to have entrance into the Grail mysteries. We have to also recognize the place as the raper, you know, or the abuser or the colonizer. And it's like that acknowledgement is going to bring us deeper into the mysteries of the Grail and the Grail women, because within the British ancestry, there's been a real overlooking, a real sort of bypassing of the colonizing, the pain, the trauma that still lives within this bloodline. So what do you think the connection is between having a culture with such deep power, colonizer, empire, history, also connected to such a rich and meaningful mythic history as well?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. This is a beautiful question, and just want to affirm some of the things that you just shared as I come into this. So yes, absolutely. You know, the story of the Well Maidens is one example in the Grail mysteries of this predatory energy coming in and desecrating the sacred. And there are also other examples. So there's one particular Grail story, for example, which is about the Grail Knight, Percival. It's by an unknown author, and it's kind of a real departure from lots of the other Grail stories, and yet I still find it very interesting. So in this particular story of the Grail, basically the writer, the unknown writer, really Christianizes the story to a whole new level. And he tells a story not of, you know, spiritual maturity and seeking and, you know, asking the right question, which the other Grail stories really embody. But instead, he basically suggests that the Grail can be conquered, which is so, as I said, such a departure from the true essence of these stories. And it's also so interesting to look at. This energy of crusading and conquering was definitely prevalent in the 12th century when these stories started being written down. And we see that energy of colonizer and predator making its way into these stories in a variety of ways. So this is just one of them. You know, we basically are told the Grail can be conquered. And for me, you know, I get chills as I say this, because this is the energy of the predator. That is the complete antithesis to what the Grail mysteries are actually about. And so we see this overlayering, right, and this desecration even within the stories. And this predatory energy, as we've just talked about, is definitely connected to this bloodline, to this heritage, especially the English, right? So Britain also encompasses Scotland and Wales, but really England is the epicenter of empire, right? And this predatory energy, this colonizing energy. And I think that we're at a point where we're beginning to look at this and reckon with this. And it's important for those of us who do want to dive into this difficult terrain to really look at the energy of both the victim and the perpetrator and see that we all hold both energies within us and that we have to reckon with both. You know, we can't stay stuck in the victim and we can't stay stuck in the perpetrator if we truly want to come back to a place of reverence and honoring of what's sacred and good relationship to the earth. You know, we can't stay stuck in those two archetypal energies. We have to reckon with them and heal them and move through them. And so for me, you know, these stories of the Grail are kind of like a map back to this innate medicine and sacredness that we hold within us. And we can find the medicine we need there to really come to terms with our colonial history, you know, those of us who have English blood and English heritage, and really come to terms with the victim and the predator within us. And how do we unwind from this predatory mindset, this predatory energy that is rampant, you know, in all over the world? It's really affected, you know, all DNA at this point. And so we have to come to terms with that. And I think that these stories, our native mythology, is waiting for us to ask those right questions and find the medicine we need to do this important decolonial work and this healing work.
Yeah, and I remember something you said when we talked before about how it can be for people who have English blood, we can go, oh, I'm Celtic. Like, or, oh, I'm, you know, kind of overlooking the fact that, no, we're English. Like, we have English in our bloodline, and this is a part of our history that needs to be reconciled with. And it's interesting how both you and I have English lineage, and that's a part of our family that has very little history. There's very little knowledge of the ancestral pathways and history. And yet, the stories at the root of it, in our, at the base of the lineage, it's so rich and it's so timeless. And so when it comes to starting to unravel these stories, this predatory nature, healing this space between the victim and the predator, and bringing like the healing waters of the well maidens that have been forgotten and their deep knowledge that's been completely unappreciated back into our being in order to merge this divide within us where we've tried to just erase this part of our history or not acknowledge it or not like say that we're something that we're not, so it doesn't identify us as a predator so much. How can the women of the Grail help us be that map to help us heal this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. There are a few things I feel called to respond to kind of before I get into that question, just from what you shared, sort of affirming things and just diving a bit deeper into some aspects. So for me, I think it's so important for, you know, women with English blood and English ancestry to honor that we're English and not to bypass that. As you said, you know, I see a lot of people in sort of who are interested in these spiritual pathways kind of glossing over that fact or, you know, wanting to go to their quote unquote Celtic roots. And unfortunately, that's just perpetrating the same mindset of, you know, avoidance, denial, predator, and also not honoring the true locality of place. Ireland has its own traditions. Scotland has its own traditions. Wales has its own traditions. And when we try to include all of that in the word Celtic, it's actually, you know, we're colonizing and putting an imprint on top of these spiritual ancestral traditions that belong to place. And, you know, our ancestors would not have thought of themselves as Celtic. And there's a whole conversation to be had about the word Celtic. And I have a blog about this for anyone who's interested in diving more into this, because it's more than I have time to share. But in essence, what I'm saying is that people who feel called to these sort of ancient ways, these spiritual pathways, you know, we have to stop looking for Celtic if we have this English ancestry and look at our English native mythology and traditions. This is complex because, of course, England was not always England, and Britain as a whole, you know, was more sort of, there's more of a shared culture when we go back far enough. But nonetheless, we do have to claim our roots as being English and look at what really does belong to us, what is ours to connect with. And we can't bypass the history of violence and harm to get there, right? So for me, this is the path, right? And when we really connect to the women of the Grail, these Grail stories, the Arthurian women, you know, for me, this is really what I feel they want us to understand and remember and reckon with and heal. And it's so interesting, you know, this predatory energy that we're talking about, because I feel that it has even entered, you know, our spiritual traditions and has tainted our native mythology in ways that promote this sense of bypassing, right? And, you know, basically people connecting to these spiritual traditions and the, you know, these mythic women and what have you to empower themselves, which is great, but we also can't, you know, ignore the collective harm that's been done in the way that we have been involved in that, continue to be involved in that, and the history of our ancestors. So for me, you know, the Grail women are really standing in the midst of time very fiercely and very strongly, asking for us to heal and to remember and not to bypass and not to just look for, you know, the things that feel good and, you know, seek out the traditions and the mysteries that we feel are beneficial to us personally, but try to expand our view of this and look at it as more of a collective awakening that needs to happen. And how can we be part of that? So again, going back to the Grail question, you know, this is very important for us to ask the right questions and not bypass these difficult truths.
When it comes to the women who are holding that sword down in the ground for us, and their anchor is our anchor that's guiding us back to even knowing what are the right questions to ask, even knowing where to go on the healing journey, even knowing what it looks like to be the people in our lineage to step forward and to heal this very uncomfortable and very difficult wound, and also to not walk forward with shame, with guilt, with these sort of, to not perpetrate these things that also, or like the stiff upper lip or the avoidance, like to really be the change within our lineage and walk forward with the sense of strength and grace and respect and reverence. Who are some of the women of the Grail that you feel stepping forward right now, ready to be known in a deeper way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I can feel the women of the Grail stepping forward most strongly, at least in my life, the way that they're coming to me, is to the women who really personify the land. Because for me, this healing journey is, you know, I've just been talking about a lot of aspects to do with society and heritage and history and what have you. But for me, the remembrance piece, you know, as we start unraveling all of that, the remembrance piece is, how can we be in balance and right relationship, and how can we bring healing forth from the land as a personification of the land? And so for me, it's the land itself that's going to help us remember, and the Grail women who personify the land that can help to guide us to that remembrance. It's so much about remembering which lands we truly come from, which lands we belong to, because that is the decolonization work, right, that needs to happen, is to honor, like, these are not my lands, and how can I be in relationship with that? You know, so I don't live in England. I live in, you know, so-called Colorado, which is the ancestral land of the Ute and Arapaho people. So how do I honor that in my decolonial journey? How can I call upon this remembrance within me to help bring forth that healing? How do we tend the lands that we're on with reverence and see the spirit of life in all things and know that that is part of our lineage? So, you know, there's a huge piece to do with the land itself, the lands that we live on, the lands that we come from, especially, you know, as we're talking about this bloodline, this ancestry from England. So we have to really honor the land and the Grail goddesses are stepping forward to help us remember that, right? These mythic women. I kind of view them as goddesses, even though they're certainly not a goddess in the traditional sense, but they have a sacredness that feels similar to goddesses. So for me, some of these Grail women include the Well Maidens, as we've talked about a few times, and also seeing some of our ancestors as the Well Maidens and beginning to see ourselves as the Well Maidens, and that we're tending this well of wisdom in our ancestral lineages and our native mythology. And that's where the remembrance can happen, is literally, you know, within the context and setting of this beautiful sacred well. I also very much feel the presence of the Lady of the Lake as a personification of the land. And to me, she's kind of an extension of the Well Maidens, tending the water and personifying the land in that way. And I also very much feel the actual Grail Maidens themselves who appear in the mythology. And often, usually, these Grail Maidens actually don't say anything in the stories, but for me, they really embody the power of silence. And within that silence, we can learn how to listen. And I feel that, you know, for those of us with this bloodline that includes, you know, this violent colonial history, we really have to listen so deeply to the lineage, to the pain and the wounding and all the complexities of that holds, in order for us to, as I've said time and time again, ask the right question. We have to listen first. We have to be silent first. And so for me, the Grail Maidens represent the power of silence and the power of listening, and also they represent the power of life itself. They are very much a symbol of life and abundance and harmony and balance and plenty. That's what they represent, and that's really what we need to return to heal the wasteland, to heal our lineages. So these are some of the women that I have been connecting with as of late in regards to this healing journey.
Wow, I love that you brought in the Grail women and how they're about the silence, because as we sit here in both of us very wombic states, talking about the Grail as womb, talking about the women of the Grail and how their medicine and their teaching was silence, and this is like an ultimate lesson and teaching for us, in that in order to enter into these mysteries, in order to heal our lineage, we have to go into the womb. We have to go into the silence. We have to go into us, like in.
It's into all, the dark as well.
Yeah. And that can only be done in the silence. It can only be done like in that descent. So when we ask ourselves that big question of like, how do we heal this, when it can feel so overwhelming and like we don't know how to actually do it or what way to turn, like we can literally just remember that the Grail women, the Grail as womb, is really just asking us to return to the womb and listen in the silence, and there we will be guided to ask the right question. We will know what question to ask. We will receive that voice.
Yeah, absolutely. What was just coming through to me so clearly too is that, you know, I feel that, well, I've seen this literally play out, where when women maybe come up against this difficult topic of predatory energy and colonization and taking from spiritual, you know, traditions that aren't theirs and what have you, like appropriation, right? There can often be this voice that comes forth that's very defensive, that tries to deflect, that tries to, you know, explain or to deny. There's so many different voices that can come forth that are very charged, that really don't serve the right purpose for this healing that needs to happen. And so we really have to, you know, witness all those voices in us that say, you know, for example, yeah, but my ancestors were poor, they weren't part of the powerful elite, you know, so they weren't really colonizers. Or, you know, the voice that says, yeah, but I've been harmed too, you know, there's been so much pain in my lineage. So there's all these voices that come forward that try to deny, deflect, as I said, and they're not very helpful in terms of actually healing and coming to terms with the depth and magnitude of what we're talking about. And so it's important for us to come into a place of listening. And yes, we can absolutely come into the womb to do that listening so that we can really observe and witness all those voices, but not let them control the story and not let them take us away from the healing that needs to happen. Because they can definitely get us off course, right? Just listening to all those voices and coming to a place of silence and then really listening. I feel that that's incredibly important for this journey.
And it's like through that listening that we start to also connect to the different women in the Grail, like the Well Maidens. And through like connecting our womb with the womb of the earth, we can begin to receive that knowledge and those messages that are specific for us that the Well Maidens were just so naturally matrixed to receive, and they were in constant connection and communion with.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much wisdom for us to connect with. And once we start really walking this path with that open heart, with that reverence, with that humility, with that acknowledgement of the pain that needs to be healed, I feel that's really when we can start to receive that deep well of wisdom that they have. And for us to really feel them encouraging us and supporting us as we do this deep work to discover this medicine. This is really, really deep work, and we absolutely need support from, you know, people and mentors and community and guides in this physical world, but also within the other world, you know, within the realm of spirit. And so this is really, the pathway that I'm devoting myself to right now. It's a, you know, a shift in my practice, in my life that I am currently moving through, and it feels like the most important thing that I can be doing right now. So it's really, such an honor to have this conversation about it and to just bring forth some of my personal reflections about it.
Why does it feel like so important for you to bring this forward and to veer your work in this direction right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. So I spent a good portion of my childhood in England, growing up in England. And I've been on such a personal journey with, you know, having left England and moved back to the United States where I was born and really embrace myself as American and what have you, and really kind of reject my English heritage for quite some time, or at least kind of pushed it aside going, I know there's a lot of heavy shit there for me to look at and deal with on a personal level and a collective level. And I feel that I'm in this time in my life where I'm really ready to look at that and to come back to that. And my deep journey with my Irish heritage and my Irish lineage has taught me so, so much about being in right relationship and what it really means to carry ancestral traditions, because their traditions are so much more intact. And I feel like I needed to go on that journey before I was, you know, ready and able to come back to my English roots and my English ancestry to do this healing work. And so it's just, you know, it's just a personal path that I'm on. But I also can see, as I have been teaching and sharing these ancestral traditions with a wider community in the wider world, that there's a real gap in terms of, you know, English women wanting to connect with these traditions, but not knowing exactly how, and feeling a lot of confusion about the word Celtic and, you know, not knowing that, you know, it's not really appropriate to connect with, you know, the Irish traditions if you're not Irish and, you know, what have you, or Scottish or Welsh or what have you. So there's a lot of confusion and a real gap and a real need. And I'm feeling that very strongly alongside of my personal path. path. And so part of my intention with beginning to share this work, which the rest of this year is really going to be me developing this work in a deeper way and then bringing it forward to share with others. You know, this is my intention for sharing this, is for this deeper healing to come forth that I know is really needed and really wanted, even though sometimes, you know, English women or women with English ancestry don't know that this is necessarily what they're looking for. So I'm really hoping that, you know, this personal journey I've been on and I'm continuing what might help to show women, oh yes, actually this is exactly what I'm looking for and I didn't know it maybe. And I think a lot of that has to do with this huge cultural bypassing of, you know, really trying to deny our predatory history and the predatory mindset because it's so deeply uncomfortable. So yeah, I'm really feeling this deep call to offer pathways of healing for this and going deep into the dark, into that state of listening and into these energies of the predator and, you know, England as empire to come to terms with all of this. So yeah, that's really my intention for the rest of this year. And it hopefully that answers your question about why it feels potent and why now. Yeah,
it does. It does. Thank you for sharing that. And it feels like, you know, for us to really be the women the world needs now and for us to be the healing that the earth needs now, we have to be the ones to step forward and do this uncomfortable work. And it is our responsibility for those of us who hold this bloodline, this lineage, to really like come face to face with this, knowing that we're supported, knowing that we have the Grail Woman at our back, knowing that we are loved in this, you know, to go into these uncomfortable places and do the healing, but also retrieve the gems and retrieve the lost wisdom too. And one of the pieces of gems that I think that we've uncovered today that you spoke to was returning to the connection with the land. Because if we can remember where in England we came from, where does our family come from? We have a lineage with roots, with a land that is, you know, our soul knows and remembers, and it speaks to us. And that in itself, starting to nurture that relationship with the land and with the roots and tending to the roots there, knowing that America isn't our ancestral land, can start to weave some really important threads back for us. So thank you for bringing that up and sharing that piece today.
Yeah, that's really the piece that is coming forward most strongly for me in terms of, you know, what's on the other side of this healing journey? What are we really looking to discover, and how can we serve, you know, the greater world by doing this work? You know, what's the purpose of it? And for me, it's so much about that, is coming into right relationship with land and lineage and having a reverence for life. And no matter where we are, I know that so many people who don't live on their ancestral lands have a lot of pain and shame and complicated feelings about that. And for me, you know, this journey is also addressing that and helping to heal that. And how do we tend the land in ways that are reverent? How do we see the spirit of life in all things? And how do we cultivate the sacred? These are all things that have been so shattered and severed by colonialism. And it's been hurting people and planet for such a long time and will continue to do so unless we heal this. And yeah, for me, one of my particular lineages is calling for this healing so strongly as well right now, is this return to the sacred and really healing from that exploitive, predatory mindset that severs us from the sacred each and every day. And it's such a deep wound that is hard to recognize because it's so built into us. We're so programmed with it. From the moment we take our first breath, it's like we are programmed away from the sacred, and we're programmed to exploit, to use the earth as a resource, and to also separate ourselves from each other and exploit each other and compete with each other. And all of these things are so connected. And so, yeah, for me, this sort of work of decolonizing myself and my lineage is so much about this, is how do we return to the sacred? And it is not an easy path, and one that I'm continuously walking.
Yeah, and it feels like in that path of returning to the sacred and returning to being in relationship with all of life, I feel like there's a point of initiation, I guess we would call it, where there's no way we can truly be in right relationship with the land that we are living on that isn't like of our own lineage until we come to terms with the land that we do come from, until we sever what's been disconnected there, until we reclaim that and own it as ours. It's like that is such a key piece in our own path of knowing the land that we come from in order to live wherever we live on whichever lands and like truly respect them and be in, like what you were saying, seeing the sacred in all of it. It's like we first have to see the sacred in our roots of origin.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there are a lot of really big pieces, and that is certainly one of them. Absolutely. And I've noticed within myself that my, you know, subconscious shame about, you know, being a settler on these lands and colonizing these lands, you know, being part of that, and the harm that that continually perpetuates for Indigenous peoples here. The shame around that has really prevented me from connecting. It's prevented me from connecting and honoring the sacredness of where I live and how can I be part of the solution of, you know, decolonizing these lands. And there are lots of different pathways to doing that. And so, yeah, these are some of the grail questions that I'm sitting with, and I don't pretend to have the answers, but these are the questions that need to be asked. And so for me, there's, yeah, absolutely what you shared is a big piece of really honoring the lands we truly come from. And that will help to, and working through this shame is what's going to help us to come into right relationship with the lands that we live on.
Thank you for sharing some of your grail questions. Another one that feels really potent is, why was I born into this family? Why was I born into this lineage? Why? Because we can, in this, like, you know, spiritual circles, there can also be this tendency to want to glamorize other cultures and other ways of other traditions, other ways of doing things, kind of abandon our own Indigenous traditions and roots and life ways and everything. So it feels also really potent to sit with that question of, why was I born into the family I was born into? Why was I born into the lineage I was born into? And what's here for me? What medicine is there within my own culture and lineage too?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a huge driver of all of my work, is to really help people return to their roots and return to their own ancestral traditions. And part of the intention of that is to minimize the amount of appropriation and harm that's being inflicted by people, you know, basically connecting and taking from, exploiting cultures that aren't their own. And, you know, I think appropriation is a more complicated topic than we often are willing to, you know, go into. And so I don't have a rigidity around appropriation, if that makes sense. I know where my heart lies, but I know that it's a conversation with a lot of complexity that deserves to be honored. But yeah, I think that it's really important for us to return to our roots for many reasons, including appropriation. And lots of people come to my work for that reason and more reasons, just wanting to really understand themselves and their family, their history, their lineage. You know, this is something that, again, we've been so severed from in our culture, and it's such a primary part of who we are.
Well, I loved flowing with you today, and I am so grateful to have had this time, and I feel like there's some really rich things that came up to help guide us regardless of where we are on this path, on this journey back. And thank you for sharing this and for being willing to have the hard conversations and ask the hard questions and to shine that light into these darker and more uncomfortable parts of our lineage in order to really be the healing and bring forth the healing that is needed of us and is being asked of us now. And, you know, just knowing that we're all in this together too. We're not alone in doing this. And, you know, to have gratitude that we get to be the ones to do this too.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I feel that there are so many women stepping forward with this warrior energy to do the shadow work, you know? And yeah, she's not a grail woman, but I definitely feel the presence of Boudica, you know, really strongly in the lineage. For those of us who feel the call to do this work, I really feel the fierceness of Boudica. Like, I feel the softness of the grail women, but I also feel the fierceness of Boudica, like saying now is the time. It's been so long since we had a real sense of the sacredness of the land coming through England in particular, because of all these very old, long-lasting waves of colonization that happened on English soil before England became an empire and colonizer itself. These are some of the other layers that I'm sitting with, you know, is understanding why. Like, why was England the one to be this, you know, huge colonizer on the world stage? Well, look at our history, you know, going back to the Roman Empire, the Saxons, the Vikings, you know, there were wave after wave of colonization for over 1,000 years before England became this epicenter of an empire. So this is important to look at too. And again, I don't share these things to bypass, but to try to understand.
Yeah, I love that you brought in Boudica. She's literally my background right now. I wasn't expecting to talk about her today, but definitely a powerful story to connect with. Is there anything else that you're feeling called to share specifically as it pertains to the Grail women?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me just sit in silence for a moment and see. Kind of circling back around to the beginning of this conversation and the womb as a symbol of the grail. You know, the womb is also our connection to lineage and all the wombs that have come before us that have brought us here. I can feel that thread of blood that connects us to our grandmothers and all the women before us, going all the way back to the times of Boudica and all the way back to the times of the well maidens and the women who really personified and tended the land. All of that wisdom is there for us, and we can remember through the womb and through our connection to the land. And this is the space that I am most drawn to in terms of remembrance and connecting with the Grail women. So I feel like that wants to be the final thing I'd like to share for today.
That's beautiful. Thank you for bringing that full circle for us and for helping to tend these remembrances to the womb, to the lineage, to the well maidens. It's like we have to go through that purification process to really become, to return to the vessels to receive this wisdom that is still there and is still living and is still alive in us too. And so thank you for helping to guide us there and to bring these teachings forward. And where can people connect with you?
Mm-hmm. My website is tara-wild.com. And I have a workshop coming up in June called Women of the Wells. That's going to be an introduction to England's native mythology and mythic women. So a deeper dive of what we talked about today, basically. And I'm also going to be bringing forward a really deep dive program later this year called Grail Priestesses, which is going to go into so much depth and really offer a pathway for many of the things that I spoke to today. This is really for women who do feel a sense of shame about their English ancestry, their English bloodline, and feel this call of the Grail to heal and to do this powerful decolonial work and healing the predatory mindset, as well as reclaiming beautiful ancestral wisdom and reconnecting with the womb and the land as a source of infinite wisdom and ancestral medicine. So all of this is going to be coming up soon, but I invite you to come to my Women of the Wells workshop if this conversation has really, opened your heart. And I have lots of other offerings as well. I do lots of offerings and teachings from the Irish traditions, which is my other part of my ancestry. And I have a membership, courses and workshops and what have you. And you can also find me on Instagram at Tara Wild, on Facebook, on YouTube. And I invite you to come and connect with me.
Amazing. Thank you so much. It was so good to connect with you today and share this wisdom straight from the womb.
Yes. It's been beautiful to share from this liminal space of the bleeding magic and wisdom of the menstrual cycle. That's what I'm trying to say.
I know. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Ruby Ray. I am your host, Jacqueline Norton, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.